Welcome to Breaking Free Podcast, your recovery, your way. I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Liv. You're in the right place if you want to explore what it means to be in recovery, to challenge the things that keep us small, and to learn how to thrive independently.
Together, we are breaking free. Just a quick reminder that while I'm a nurse and a coach, and Liv is a coach, recovery advocate, and a writer, we are not doctors. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you need to, please, please see a doctor.
The Alana Pub of Portland is proud to sponsor the Breaking Free podcast. Your recovery, your way, is at the heart of our approach to recovery support services.
Unity Recovery, an inclusive recovery community organization serving all of Philadelphia, is proud to support the Breaking Free podcast. Recovery is possible. Find your path to break free.
All right, so today we're going to talk about the essentials of recovery. You'll hear from myself and Liv about our experience of what the critical parts are that lead to continued growth and really thriving in recovery. First, I want to hear from you, Liv. What's your experience been?
I think the key point for me to make, first of all, is that what worked initially has changed throughout the period of my recovery. So for me, that's why in the early days, AA did help, because it was a ready-made community. And, you know, I spent a lot of meetings frustrated. And, you know, and we're going to get more into this in further episodes of my journey of leaving AA. But initially, it did help. And when I was frustrated, I would be thinking about, what are the elements of this that help me? And I think that's what's prompted some of this discussion today, is that we want to encourage people to be able to pick and choose the things that work for them in their recovery. So community and a sober community, that is. What other elements are important? The empathy element. So I need people to understand what it's like for me to go through the things that I'm going through. Recovery is not easy. So I need to know that people, that someone that hears me, you know, and to some extent has my back, they can say, there's such power in the words me too, right? Well, there's a whole movement of me too, but in the sense of getting into recovery in the early days, that, yeah, I get that. That must be really difficult. Mm-hmm. And I'm so not
being,
talking...
being heard, feeling
yeah,
seen.
Yeah, being heard and feeling seen, yeah. And then as I progressed, other things were more important. You know, the parts of me that needed to look after my body, I needed to have an element of exercise. So, and we're going to dig a little bit more into that later in the episode, but for me, I think the crucial elements initially were a sober community. What about you?
Yeah. So for me, I love that you, well, first of all, I love that you brought up growth in recovery and how our needs change as we go on our path or journey, and that we are different people. We are, today we are different people than we were when we first just, you know, came into recovery. And to honor that and how important it is to really recognize that, just because I think for me, one of the things that, and again, as Liv said, we'll be talking about this on another episode. We both left 12-step and there's reasons for that, but we also both really benefited from it, I think. Mm-hmm. And so looking at that was something that really helped me, and honoring that, but also honoring that just because it's something that helped me at one point in my life doesn't mean that it works for me today.
Yeah.
Similarly to, you know, if I had a therapist, I probably wouldn't be going to the same therapist for 30 years, you know, and I plan to be in recovery for 30 years. So it's not, you know, it's...
That's a really important point, because I think for many people, and, you know, we are going to discuss this more, but I think it's worthwhile to point out that we don't believe our recovery is contingent upon attendance within a certain program.
Yeah.
You know, recovery is contingent upon our commitment to our growth and development.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk about that in just a moment. I'm so excited to dive into the essentials, all of the essentials that we have come up with for you. But for me, I think the key is really become about honoring my, you know, connection to my body, honoring my own path, right? That my path is unique and is specific to me, which is really why I think we were inspired to do this podcast. It was why I was inspired to do it, because
And why we're such great friends.
Absolutely. And we do a lot of checking in with each other even about, you know, is this, how's your energy? Is this something that you, is this something that works for you? And especially now that we're partnering on, you know, a lot of things, but this podcast is in particular, we try to honor each other's needs, wants, desires, you know, where we're at from day to day. And I think honoring that within myself, but honoring that within others as well. Just because I feel something or believe something or something works for me, that doesn't mean that it works for other people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, really self-directed is really a big key to me. And I don't even know if that's something that we had on our...
I don't, but I think it's fundamental to this podcast. You know, one of our objectives of this podcast is to empower others to direct recovery that works for them. You know, our not our logo, but our tagline is "Your Recovery, Your Way." It's something we're really passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you are trying to do something that is kind of a prescribed plan and nothing else, that's, you know, oftentimes it's trying to fit the whole like round peg in a square hole. It just doesn't, or a square peg in a round hole.
Whichever.
You may be round, you may be square. I don't know. I'm personally more of the round variety, but and I look at the holes as squares, like boxes. But anyway, so the point is that I think honoring myself as an individual, and that requires also honoring others as individuals, and honoring myself as a person who changes and grows, like you were saying, that honoring that my needs change. And in order to continue growing, I have to really be aware of that and be open to other ideas.
And that's a really interesting point, isn't it? Is the power of choice, because I think in the very early days of recovery, we think we have no choice. And especially if you subscribe to a 12-step methodology, you know, and I do want to say, like, we are not here to bash anybody that goes to 12-step. We fully respect people if that is your pathway. We're just here to talk about our experience. But getting back to my point, I think it's really difficult to understand the concept of self-direction and a level of autonomy in the early days because... yeah, we don't think we have any choice. We have struggled to stop. And that feels like it's kind of a contradiction. Like we're saying you have the permission to try something that works for you. And that might mean stepping foot into the rooms of AA. It might mean going to therapy. It might mean lots of different things. We want to encourage you to try any pathway that works for you, and don't be afraid of saying this doesn't work for me right now, but keep an open mind that that might be something that changes later on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's a level, and we can, you know, we'll get into this more today. We really want to get down to the essentials, but I think there's a level of distrust of ourselves when we come into recovery. And so it makes it challenging to recognize like this is my, you know, my inner voice, right? Really speaking to me, and that this is something that's right for me versus being told, oh, that's your, you know, addict speaking. And we'll be talking about this in later episodes. But the key for me is really rebuilding that trust with myself, and that requires connection, which can feel really scary, right? Because we've been numbing out, we've been told that we're broken, we've been, you know, we've gotten all of these messages, all of this cultural conditioning, and on top of that, our experience has been that, yeah, they're right, I can't be trusted,
I can't stop drinking,
and so when you've been in recovery for a little while, you start to be able to rebuild that trust with yourself and start to know that, yes, I can, you know, rely on myself.
Was a huge part for me. Huge. Because I don't subscribe to the belief that I have a separate personality living within my brain, or, you know, some things that you hear in the rooms. In England, I don't know if they say this over here, they say, oh, your addict's in the car park. This is a Mancunian accent. Your addict's in the car park doing push-ups, waiting for you to mess up. I promise not to talk in that voice again. I don't subscribe to that. So I think trust, we should have a whole episode on self-trust.
That's a great idea. Okay, coming soon.
Yeah. So let's dig into, why don't we dig into connection more? You've talked about connection to your body. What about, and we talked a little bit about connection to others. Do you want to talk some more about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with what you were saying earlier, a sense of community and having a connection with others. So whether it's, you know, having us, if you're in 12 step, like having a sponsor, having friends that also are on the path of recovery, you know, some path of recovery, right? Who get it,
yeah.
Who've been there, that you can call up when you're struggling,
uh-huh.
Having, I mean, maybe a therapist, whatever it is for you, having, you know, higher power, if that's something that works for you. For me, that has become fundamental to my recovery is having a higher power that I, you know, I do actually meditate daily now, which is crazy because it took me, you know, 20 years to get, well, it took me about 18 years to get to the point where I actually meditated every day, but it has been so transformative for me,
yeah.
to have that connection every morning and start my day that way, you know? So for some people it might be prayer, for some people it's yoga, right?
Yeah.
But whatever it is, for me, it's about connecting to myself, connecting to some sort of, you know, spirit or higher power and connecting with others.
And what about a connection to nature?
Oh, absolutely. I know we were talking about getting ready for this podcast. We were talking about how critical that's been. And I know you were saying for you, it's been absolutely
crucial. It's a really big disruptor for me in a good way. You know, I, as a writer, spend a lot of my time in my head. And I think actually, you know, I really relate to when people said the first few years of recovery, they just felt like a floating head. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to sit in my body and, you know, because we're so good at dissociating, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing of what substance use disorder is, right? A big part of it. And so for me, it's important to be able to get out into nature so that I can disrupt whatever state of mind I'm in and gain some perspective and just feel more centered and grounded, which I too get from meditation. That's really important. What about, should we talk about process?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was one thing I thought was really interesting. So for you and I, we had different feelings about process. And so
process.
I think process actually sounds lovely. But
thank you.
So for me, it's really, you know, I was a member of AA for a long time and I worked the steps, oh my gosh, I don't even know, probably 7 times through. And that was really helpful for me for all of the initial shame and guilt that I had,
mm-hmm.
and really unpacking that and getting really right-sized, right? Like recognizing like, yes, I've done these things and it's harmful, but I also, you know, am not just these things.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, I'm not like the worst person in the world. Yeah. I'm not setting out to harm people. Right. So it was able to see like, oh, the reason I did these things was because I had my instincts were being threatened, or I was in a place of being really hurt myself,
mm-hmm.
or I was really struggling with substance use. So my judgment was clouded or whatever it was, right? So really recognizing like, okay, there's a reason for these things and there's something mm-hmm. I can do about it. That was really helpful for me, but there was a point at which it didn't take care of the things that were still causing me pain.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff was family of origin stuff. A lot of it was the way that I related to people, because I feel like in the steps it was, you know, these are all the things that I'm responsible for, and just focusing on that piece and letting off some steam too, you know, in the 4-step process. But really it was about me and the way that I behave in the world. And I needed that help initially, but then I really needed something deeper. And I actually, I read some literature about adult children of alcoholics, and that was really helpful. And then I went out into the world and started seeking personal growth and development opportunities outside of the program. And that was really tremendous for me. I haven't had a great experience with therapy. Like, I have not found a therapist that I liked that worked for me. I felt like either I vented to them or we had very different philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it was the empowerment piece. And so, you know, the people that I know that there are amazing therapists out there that are very empowering. But I think the people that I ended up going to see, you know, they were like on my insurance panel or whatever it was. were not empowering. And ultimately, that's when I ended up, that's a reason that I ended up leaving the program, is that I was feeling that it was starting to feel disempowering to me. So the idea that I'm broken, you know, that I'm never going to be whole or complete, that message, I felt like I was getting that message from a lot of places in society. Yeah. So I really had to seek, you know, other opportunities for personal growth and development that were about uncovering shame, digging in, and, you know, self-forgiveness. And a lot of it ended up being really personal, but I was really committed to doing it because I was so tired of feeling that pain and having those struggles. So I think more than anything, it was important that whole time to have the commitment and to be willing to try new things and to be willing to dig in, because it's painful work.
Yeah.
So how about you?
Yeah, and often I was just going to say that the fear of the pain of doing that. I was talking to someone about this the other day, and she was saying, I don't want to go to therapy. You know, it's just going to be really painful. What's the point in digging up all this stuff? And I said to her, you know, the only way out is through. That's a really common quote, but it's really powerful. And often the fear of the pain is worse than the pain itself. So process or process for me is was crucial, and initially that took the form of journal writing. You know, in England it's really difficult to get therapy, so that meant waiting for like 12 months to see someone, and even if we did see someone, it might be a CBT therapist, and CBT, it works for some people, but it wasn't the right type of therapy for me. I, given my history and the fact that I have complex PTSD, which I had no idea about until I moved to America, but that's a whole another episode.
It might be like three episodes.
Oh my God, yeah. So initially journal writing, and I'll never forget, my very first sponsor said to me, I'd like you to start journaling every day. And I was totally perplexed. I didn't know where to start. And I said, well, what do I write about? I was so disconnected from my mind and my body. And, you know, I'd been numb for so long. So she made this suggestion, and I still make it to people today. And that is to, you know, to write a plan for the day. You know, what are you going to do that day? And to use it as a means of emptying your brain. So talk about what's on your mind. Talk about, you know, any nightmares that you've had, or, you know, what you learned if in therapy or in a meeting or whatever, talking to sober people, you know, what came up for you. And then at the end of the day, and this is my favorite thing to do, I did it religiously every day for the first few years of recovery, was to write five things that I'd done right that day. Mm. And every time I mentioned it to a person that was new in recovery, they couldn't answer. And I had to start them off. You know, like the fact that they were in recovery for another day is huge. That they'd gotten, you know, they got up and they showed up was really important. If they went to a meeting, if they went to therapy, if they meditated, you know, when you actually start that process, the list becomes really big. But starting with five feels more manageable. So, yeah, so writing was really important, and I filled a lot of journals over the years. But then that changed slightly, so I needed another type of creative process, so painting or drawing or colouring in. But therapy has been a huge part of my process. And when I left 12-step fellowships after 5 years, it coincided with moving to America, I found an incredible therapist. And, you know, and I have tried before, but I've never really clicked with someone. Like I say, it's been CBT, which I don't really like. My therapist is Jungian. And it's been a really profound change for me. And when people, so, you know, I manage a group of people that have left 12-step recovery, and we often talk about, and I think this is what in many ways has prompted us wanting to talk about this discussion, is if you don't go to 12-step fellowships, what are the crucial elements to maintain your recovery? Mm-hmm. And one of the key things I always say is, you know, is to have a process. And for me, that includes therapy. Each week there is an opportunity for me to talk about what's going on for me. That's something that could be replicated in a sponsor relationship or another sober friend. But for me, it's really crucial to be able to sit down and empty my brain. I call it kind of like physical therapy for my mind. So that's a crucial element. Another element is exercise, but I'm not sure that falls. Is that process?
I definitely wanted to talk a little bit about it. Talked about that as bonuses. All right, we're going to take a pause here so that we can hear from our awesome sponsors.
The Alana Club of Portland is proud to sponsor the Breaking Free podcast. Your recovery, your way, is at the heart of our approach to recovery support services. As the largest and most diversely programmed non-clinical recovery support center in the United States, we've been proudly breaking barriers and forging new pathways for years to ensure everyone has a home in recovery. From peer mentoring to recovery CrossFit, from trauma-informed yoga to mindfulness training, the Alana Club of Portland has a recovery pathway that's right for you.
Here at Unity Recovery, we believe recovery should be the expectation, not the exception. Whether you find support with mutual aid, harm reduction, medication, or yoga, your recovery is beautiful and worth celebrating. Learn more and become part of the recovery movement at unityrecovery.org.
And we're back. Let's just bullet point for people all of the essentials, and then we can talk about the icing on the cake.
This is calling out for a spreadsheet.
We totally are, but we want to make sure we give you all of the things. So we talked about personal growth and development work. That was something that was really important. And that can look like any of the things that we just talked about. Writing, it can look like reading. For me, I became an entrepreneur, and the resources available are tremendous. The Miracle Morning is one of the things I tell everyone about.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Do we want to say what that is?
Oh, my gosh. So The Miracle Morning is a book written by Hal Elrod. He's kind of the quintessential motivational speaker. You know, he was like the top salesman in his company, and then he lost it all. He got in a car accident and couldn't walk, and he relearned how to walk. And anyway, he's had all of these kind of dramatic life events happen that he's come back from. And most recently he's recovered from cancer.
Yeah.
And so he wrote a book. He was having a period of depression at one point and wrote a book about it and found that people who were successful in life always did, at least a few things in the morning to start off their day. And what he found is like, these were, all of the things that people did. It was like the combination of all the things. And so he wanted to do them all because he really wanted to, get out of this funk. And so it's six things: exercise, scribing, writing, reading, meditation, affirmations, and visualizations. And so I started doing that. I write it in my journal every day, what day I'm on, and it's something like 1,233
or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'm obsessed with it. It has been life-changing for me. So that's a big part. That's kind of my process now. Mm-hmm. Like, I journal every morning. I meditate every morning. I read something, whether it's an article that's related to, the work I do, or some type of recovery piece. I do work around disordered eating. So a lot of times it's body image or health at every size, that type of stuff. But, or it's, whatever kind of book. Recently, I read Michelle Obama's book in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's a big book, but I got through it, right? And normally, it's wonderful. Read it if you haven't. If reading works for you.
Becoming.
So the point is that I started doing that every morning, and that was tremendous for me. But that's not what other people's has to look like. Like you were saying, for some people, nature might be huge, right? So maybe you make a point of going outside for 5 minutes every morning.
Yeah.
Maybe you gaze out the window for 5 minutes if you live in Portland and it rains a lot like it does for us.
Maybe write three things that you're grateful for.
Yeah, a gratitude list. So for a while I did that in my journal every morning when I couldn't think of what to write. And it was really a great way to start my day.
I like to now try and pin down my dog and hug her for 5 minutes. She doesn't really hug me. She hugs you. She loves hugging you.
She's a really sweet dog, and there's something, we have a little bit of a, but it's more of like an auntie relationship. Aww. I'm the fun auntie.
Yeah, you are.
And you're mommy.
I'm mom. Mom.
So that's personal growth and development and process.
Yeah.
And then we have community, which we talked about, and empathy, and how important it is to have empathy for ourselves and to receive empathy from others. And I think that can be in any of those relationships. Uh-huh. It can also be something you're not receiving in a relationship that's really important. So you might not be receiving that from your therapist or from your partner or from your friends or from your sponsor, right? And if you're not, seek out people who will be empathetic for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's really huge. And when I first was in recovery, I had some people who maybe were, edgier, or mm-hmm. I had, people in my life, sponsors, that were like, you have to do it. And, just kind of like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And there was times where that was helpful, but there was also times where that just made me feel more ashamed, right? Yeah. So I, have been in the sponsorship role, and I really make a huge effort to be empathetic at all, in every instance.
You're really good at empathy.
Thank you. You are. But it's because I've been shown empathy and I see how important it is.
But I think you practice the true essence of what it means to be empathetic and a great listener. And that to me is not just understanding where that person's coming from and hear it, allowing that person to be heard. It's also not trying to fix them afterwards, mm-hmm. Or like saying, this is what I did, giving unsolicited advice. Sometimes empathy doesn't mean unsolicited advice. This isn't an opportunity for us to fix someone. And that's something that, oh my God, we've got a whole episode on boundaries coming up.
We do. Yes, we do.
Go on.
Oh, I think what you're saying really is tied to that idea of people being self-directed and having autonomy and honoring that. And that can really be helpful in not feeling like we need to fix them.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to be fixed.
No.
You're a grown adult. You're perfectly capable of directing your own life and making the choices that you want to make.
Uh-huh.
Right? But it's really challenging because, we get excited about what's worked for us. We do want to help people.
Yeah.
But we're really taking an opportunity away from that person to, have that struggle and come up with their own solution and find that thing that really works for them.
Yeah.
And this was in the nurse coach training that I did. This was a huge piece of the work, was really recognizing that you really do know best.
Yes.
And so, but again, we have to go back to building that trust so that we know that we do know what's best for ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. Because when we first come into recovery, that we have struggled, with that relationship. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So we've got,
there was something that I wanted to come back to on community. So I get this asked this a lot. How do you find community if you're not in the 12-step program?
That's an excellent question. And we will be talking about all paths of recovery on another episode. And I know we've said that a lot. This is one of the first ones. So we want to have all of this that we want to give to you right this minute.
We want to say it all now.
But there's so much online now, mm-hmm. and there are so many other, even just within like the yoga communities, or there's meditation groups.
Yeah.
There's, meetup.com has like hiking groups and all kinds of.
Yeah. I went to Refuge Recovery. I found a community there, but I also really like the insight communities, the meditation insight communities. So I go to Portland Insight, and there's always a meditation that every Sunday morning, and then we all do Qigong together when I go. It's wonderful. But also there are the online groups like She Recovers.
Yeah, She Recovers. We love She Recovers.
And we started our own social community in Portland because we felt that was really missing for us. Recovery can be very serious sometimes, and the social element is important. I mean, if you actually go back to the origins of AA, it was always supposed to be a bridge to normal living. Mm-hmm. So, we can't necessarily, although some people feel comfortable with this, but we can't necessarily live in silos of, I only want to be around sober people. Mm-hmm. So, I do have friends in my life that are not in recovery, and that's okay. But we wanted to encourage people to have fun and social gatherings. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. So now we have partnered since with She Recovers. So now it's become a She Recovers meetup here.
She Recovers Together, it's their foundation.
Oh, yes, sorry. She Recovers Together, and we are the Portland meetup. And I think what we wanted was something that was fun and creative, right? Because we both, I have a mission to create more fun, adventure, and play in my life, and Liv is often my partner in crime in that. We go on little adventures. And, I wanted to do this with a group of women. And so what we decided to do is just meet up monthly, and we do crafty stuff usually. Like, we made affirmation bracelets. We've made, we had an intuitive paint night. That was wonderful. One of our community members is actually a really great, we have several in our community that are artists. And so, we've been led by them. One did an art journaling.
Keely.
Yeah, Keely. So that was amazing. I've actually since switched to art journaling rather than just, writing things out. I still write things out when I need to, but it's actually a really lovely way to start my brain in the morning, challenge my brain. So yeah, so building that sense of community, and I really think that that's, I would say that's the top. Personal growth and development or process, and then community, like those are the top two for me.
Yeah.
And these other things kind of, well, community connection, right? Like those things all kind of fall under that umbrella to me. But so build your own. If you know, build if you build own. It, they will come, right? And the more I talk to people about being in recovery, I've really tried to fully integrate myself this year. I used to work at the hospital. I didn't really feel like I could talk about it much there. You know, so I had all these separate pieces of me. And now it just, you know, I just kind of bring it up organically in conversations. I don't run around telling people like, oh, you know, I'm sober, right? Like when they're holding a glass of wine or something. But if it comes up at all, if they're like, oh, do you want a drink? I say, no, I don't drink, actually. Or I say I'm in recovery, whatever it is. And that's been really tremendous.
Yeah.
Because I actually just had a conversation with someone at a networking event the other day. It came up and I said, oh, I'm in recovery. And she was like, that's really interesting because I've been really feeling like drinking isn't like... She's like, it's not, I don't feel like it's really like a huge problem, but I don't feel like I don't feel very good after, you know, having more than a glass, whatever it is. And she actually was literally holding a glass of wine while we were talking, but it was really amazing that by being more vulnerable and open, I feel like people are able to talk with me about their own struggles. And I'm finding more and more people who are in different kinds of recovery or who have different paths to recovery, which has really opened up my world. Mm-hmm. So
that's a really beautiful segue to service to others in recovery.
Yeah, so being of service.
Right.
Huge.
How are we of service? I think by sharing our journey. Mm. I consider... and I felt very uncomfortable doing this for a long time because, you know, I'd come from the philosophy that from 12 steps that service is giving back to others by doing service at a meeting. And once I stepped out of that paradigm, I realized that, you know, in managing a blog and putting out content for the recovery community is a service. You know, I don't get paid to do that. I get paid for my journalism, but that's my job now. And in essence, that's a service too. I don't think, are they mutually exclusive?
Your job? And no, I don't believe so.
No.
My work is a huge part. And my job, even previously when I worked at the hospital, I felt like it was all being of service in the world.
Right. Yeah. So it can be in any capacity, really, from sharing that we're in recovery to, you know, answering the phone to a friend that's struggling, to writing, to running workshops, to, you know, whatever.
Man, answering the phone, that is such a good answer. Like how many times, we text, right? And I tend to not answer the phone, but I have people in my life now where if they call me, I know it's for a reason, right? And so I answer the phone anytime I can. And it's so much more powerful.
Right.
And I think showing up, that's really showing up, right? Like showing up for people, you know, in Brené Brown's work, she talks about showing up for funerals and how people remember that and how important it is. And so just really showing up for people in the capacity that they need to be, they need you to show up for them.
Yeah.
It's not so much about how we want to show up, although I choose now to show up in the world in a capacity of being of service.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of being integrated, right? It's like, I want to be of maximum service.
Yeah.
And this is actually in the big book and it still sticks with me, right? Even though I've left AA, it's like being of maximum service to ourselves and or to God and our fellows, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's also like being of service to myself and making sure I care for myself. So I love the five love
that's
languages.
That's a really good point. Mm. The fairly get five love languages.
Because it's about them and how they like to be, how they like to receive, right?
We should do an episode on that.
Mm. Yeah, it's really, and then you can actually apply it to yourself too, which I think people don't really think about.
No.
But I think being of service can look, it might feel like a small thing.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the grocery store yesterday and I was really hungry. I was at Whole Foods. I don't know if you have those where you live, but it's a, you know, grocery store where everything's spendy, but it's all organic and, you know, that kind of thing.
Paycheck, they call it.
Yeah, whole paycheck. But I had some hot food and I was trying to pay for it so I could go eat. And this gentleman and I walked up at the same time. And he said, go ahead, I'm not in a hurry. And then aww. I plopped my stuff down and I didn't even like put a divider. So he put a divider between our food and then he put a divider at the end of his food aww. And just like gave me space. Like that gentleman was of service to me just by like allowing, like he could see that I was hangry, probably. Hungry. Or maybe not. Maybe that's just how he is in the world, right? But no act is too small.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah. And we're hoping that this podcast will be of service to you.
Yeah.
So definitely you can join us on the Breaking Free community on Facebook. And we'll be having a website for you to, you know, if you want to go sign up for our email list, that sort of thing. And let us know if there's things that you want to hear about.
Yeah.
And we want to see what Breaking Free means to you. We're really excited for that. But I do, we only have a few more minutes, but I do want to just make sure that we cover the bonuses because we really, we did already talk about the spiritual one.
Bonus element.
Bonus. You get a bonus.
Yeah, we did talk about the spiritual because, you know, recovery isn't necessarily, depending upon your pathway, contingent upon belief in anything beyond yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's really, we should talk about it being, you should believe in yourself. You know, that's probably another episode. So you don't necessarily need to go to church, go to a mosque or whatever that looks like to you. We encourage you to consider to try different things. You know, for me, it's changed and it's evolved. I remember in the early days I went to church. I don't talk about this much. I did go to church. And a really evangelical church where they sang and it was weird and the British person inside me died every time I went.
I would have really loved to see that.
Oh my God. They're like, stand up and dance. And even now, I mean, I couldn't even do the silent disco as She Recovers.
Yeah.
But I'm getting there. So, yeah, so ooh, that might change.
Well, next time we do a silent disco, when one of these days, we'll get a picture. We'll post it for you.
Oh my God.
That'll be us breaking free.
Yeah, I'm breaking free of my own self-imposed barriers of you know, expressing myself. Mm. I think the English, you know, the British culture is a little bit repressed and we don't, you know, I think that's why I've made it as a writer in America and not in England.
Oh, interesting.
Anyway, so for me, the spiritual aspect, I like to listen to talks on Buddhism, but I don't ascribe to anything in particular. For me, if I was to connect with anything, it would be, you know, Mother Nature and the greater universe. I believe firmly that there is a path for me and that everything that I encounter is just part of my journey. And while it might not make time at the sense, at the time rather, it makes sense in a broader way. And that there is a defined path for me. And usually when something happens that I don't like, it's because something better is coming along. So, you know, that's my belief system. And I think, you know, given the capacity that it took to move to America, I had to have some level of faith. Otherwise, I would have lost myself. It was quite possibly the craziest thing I've ever done. Another episode.
So far, we've described the 17 episodes that we need to record right now.
Yeah.
But we hope
you might be interested in those.
Yeah. Well, I love what you had to say about that. I think the reason it's a bonus is that, like you said, you don't have to have a spiritual belief, right? Or believe in a higher power or God. I also am more connected to the idea of a greater, you know, purpose or a higher power or, you know, these things. And actually, I believe that we're all connected.
Yeah.
But I know that you don't have to have that. And actually, I went to church at the beginning, too.
You
so
did.
That might be an episode. Oh. Yeah. I actually went to a Bible study. It was really interesting when I was pregnant with my daughter, who is now 21 years old today.
She doesn't look old enough, guys. Guys. Honey.
Honey. So.
We try not to say guys.
Yeah. We're trying to switch. So it'll be folks or honey or everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone.
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 So the spiritual realm, you know, that is a bonus, but I think it's really about that connection piece. And so you talked about nature, right? And so whether you have a, you know, whether if you're agnostic or atheist or you have a spiritual belief or not, it's really about connecting to yourself, connecting to nature, connecting to other things, right? So even if you are atheist or agnostic, I think it's still about connecting. But if you're not and you do believe in a higher power, we still have to connect to that.
Yeah.
Right? That belief and that connect, you know, have a spiritual connection. So the connection is really the thing that's essential.
Yeah.
And so that's why we put it on the bonus list, is it doesn't have to be God per se.
Like the rituals and the ways in which you do connect are also a bonus part, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because they're different for everyone. And, you know, you could have an infinite amount of rituals that you do, but then, you know, we wouldn't be out living life, right?
No.
So we want to do a balance of that.
Purpose.
Purpose. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's crucial. Well, it's crucial for me, but it is a bonus because you don't necessarily need to have a purpose, although many would argue that you do in order to sustain recovery. I had to have a sense of purpose, and, you know, sharing my journey as my purpose and helping others on their journey is really what drives me. I feel really passionately about the woman that I was when I was 2 years sober, which was, you know, in a job that I hated and, you know, would spend most of the evenings in a meeting, and I was exhausted and still binge eating, and that wasn't a purpose for me. I knew that there had to be more. So finding my purpose was what got me out of that. That was crucial. And those are the people that I speak to, you know, and people who are curious about more. That's my little input.
Yeah, I think you're right. So for me, I had a similar path, and I agree with what you're saying, that we don't necessarily have to have purpose or be, you know, living our purpose or know what it is. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, and initially in recovery, I didn't feel that I had a purpose, and finding some purpose in the world, initially it was becoming a nurse, really did help with that. And then now finding what I feel is my true purpose, something I'm extremely passionate about, has completely opened up, you know, life for me. And so it's been huge in terms of growing, in terms of feeling satisfied. And like you were talking about binge eating, we'll go into this more, but there's this concept of self-silencing using food. And so if we have a need, if we're kind of ignoring a piece of ourselves, oftentimes we'll use food or substances to numb that out. And so if we know that there's a purpose that we're avoiding, I think that can really be problematic, right? So, yeah, I don't think it's essential for everyone, but I think it's fabulous, and everyone, you know, could potentially benefit from seeking purpose. Whether they find their one true purpose or not, I don't think really matters. It's more of the seeking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we just want to talk about exercise, and I actually like to call it loving movement, because I feel like exercise is a lot of times associated with shame or associated with shoulds.
Punitive,
Yeah, punitive. And it's, you know, it's natural for us to move our bodies.
Yeah.
It sends signals to our brains. It helps us be grounded. It helps us be connected and in tune with our body.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's tremendous. But there may be periods like, you know, maybe you've broken your ankle and you have to like lay on the couch or whatever, right? Like there's periods of time where we're not able to do that. Or maybe you have other injuries or, you know, things you struggle with. But if you don't have those things, you know, again, we don't want it to be a should.
Yeah.
But we do want to highlight how valuable it can be to simply move your body in a way that feels good.
Yeah. Changing from the mindset of exercise is a means of eliminating the calories that I've eaten and moving towards the mindset of this movement helps my brain to recover from substance use disorder and any mental illness was crucial. It was really important to me. And actually, I let go of all the expectations once I did that. So, you know, I work out twice a week. I like to lift really heavy things. I would do deadlifts all day if I could. Mm-hmm. But that could be yoga. It could be going for a walk. It could be doing anything, right?
Yeah.
Anything that you are able to do that moves your body.
Yeah, even if it's 5 minutes, it really can make a huge difference just to go outside for 5 minutes.
Or foam roll inside for 5 minutes.
Foam roll, stretch your bones, move your body in a way that you don't normally move it. Like just wiggle your body around. It might feel really silly.
Yeah.
But we don't just move our bodies just for the purpose of movement, right? So All right. Well, we do have to wrap it up, but I hope that this episode has been informative and helpful. We'd love to hear from you about what, you know, what has been inspiring for you. Thank you for listening to Breaking Free Podcast, Your Recovery, Your Way.
We want to hear from you.
Email us at hello@breakingfreerecovery.com or join our Facebook group, Breaking Free Community.
Tell us what Breaking Free means to you.